You're listening to What She Said, a podcast about blogging, creativity, and life online, hosted by me, Lucy Lucraft, a freelance journalist and blogger based in Brighton. Hello, and welcome to another episode of What She Said. In this episode, I interview a fellow podcaster, Kat Horrocks, who runs the podcast and community and blog, The Creative Introvert. We talked all about what it's like to be a creative introvert, the difference between introverts and extroverts, and Kat had some amazing tips to give any fellow introverts out there who want to start a creative career. Lastly, I just wanted to remind you that my course, Your First Byline, is open for enrollment at the moment. Payment plans are available. If you have any questions about it, just drop me an email, hello@lucylucraft.com. Also, thank you to our sponsor for the episode, which is the Blogger Course. There'll be a little advert in the middle of this episode, but for now, I just wanted to say thank you. Please support Monica's course as much as she's supporting this podcast. Yeah, that's it. On with the episode. Hi, Kat. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Lucy. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for being a part of it. So for anybody who doesn't know who you are, do you want to just give us a little rundown of your journey so far?
Sure. I mean, I could start with, so I'm the creative introvert, at least that's what I call myself online. And I actually didn't know that I was an introvert until a friend of mine, a good few years ago, I was kind of like moaning to them about not liking to work in-house for design clients, because that's my background, web design, that kind of thing. And why I quit my job in the first place in an agency was because, you know, it was actually just being around other people all day long and the bright lights and all of that. And he said, oh, but you know, that's because you're an introvert. And I was like, well, I'm not shy, I'm okay with people, aren't I? questioningly. And he explained the definition of introvert being somebody who gets their energy from spending time alone versus an extrovert who kind of absorbs energy when they're around other people. And I was like, okay, this does make sense. It could explain why I felt so drained when I was working in the office job and why I do my best work solo. And then I kind of just started really geeking out on the whole topic of introverts and personality type. Obviously read Susan Cain's Quiet, so many more. And at the same time, I was meeting other creatives, you know, kind of with a small c, just other illustrators, designers, stuff like that, and noticing that we were pretty much all introverts, even though introverts tend to be on the minority in the population. And you know, I was wondering, are there any connections there? Either way, there should definitely be some kind of online community where we can talk to each other and, you know, about the problems that we face in, you know, whether we're freelance or working in agencies, stuff like managing our energy or getting our work out there and talking about our work when these kind of things don't come maybe naturally to us. Mm. And so I started a blog, I started that online community, which is now the League of Creative Introverts, and just kind of kept going. And now I'm podcasting and doing a bit of coaching and online teaching. I still do some design work and stuff like that, but it's nice to be able to talk about the stuff that I like geeking out on with other people who appreciate that.
I have to say I relate so much to all of it. And when we chatted before for your podcast, which I'll link in the show notes, we talked a little bit about school and how really school can really screw you up as an introvert, because and office jobs, because they don't really reward, or certainly in my experience, they don't reward introverts. And it's really hard, isn't it, when you're an introvert to do things like sell and follow the blueprints for selling a product or being freelance and pitching yourself to people, because that sort of stuff does not necessarily come naturally to somebody who is completely drained of energy and doesn't want to network.
Completely. And so much of the, you know, even if you are trying to do all the right things, whether it's for your business or anything else, and you're getting information and advice from people who aren't of the same or similar personality type to you. And so I think there's a lot of kind of confusion around that. And people assume then that marketing or self-promotion just is not for them. and they kind of give up on it. And that's the sad thing. And I saw that. And similarly in school, I was the quiet one and just assumed that I would never be somebody who'd raise their hand. But now that I've gotten a little bit more comfortable with that idea of, you know, I've kind of like been able to expand my comfort zone slowly. And so now I'm okay with, you know, raising my hand to speak or in a class or a workshop I go to. And it's sad that kids aren't encouraged in that kind of gentle way, you know, making people, helping people feel safe. And, you know, maybe it's smaller groups. And I know schools, obviously it's a resource thing, but I also think it's a mindset thing. It's this cultural idea that we're all great at being in groups and we're not.
Yeah, I completely agree. And yeah, of course, it's easier said than done. I went to a state school. There was between 30 and 40 of us in a class. Mm. But I think really it's exactly what you say. It is a mindset thing, because if teachers have been empowered to not teach in the style of I am at the front, authoritative, and you are all looking at me, and you only get to say anything if you put your hand up in front of this big group of people. If the mindset had been a little bit different and they'd been empowered to teach in a different way. And some teachers, I suppose some teachers do, but I certainly didn't have any. but I hated school, so.
Didn't help.
So taking it back to when you decided to go freelance and leave your agency job, what were the steps that you took there? Because it sounds like it was pretty transformative.
Yeah, that was interesting time. I hadn't really been happy at any point in my work life, which really, honestly, in agencies was around 4 years. So it's not like I really gave it too much of a go, but it was straight after uni. And I think everyone in that position mostly has a difficult time. So I just assumed everyone was, you know, we're all kind of like struggling, but other people were better at dealing with it than I was. And I'd kind of spoken to my boss about it before, because I knew for a fact that I did better work when I was at home. And just various other things, like I like to wear headphones, and a lot of people do. And they were actually a very lenient agency. Of course, they were going to like let us do things like that. And obviously not all jobs you're allowed to do things like that. But after kind of speaking to my boss about it enough times, he was just like I really can't do anything. We've been looking into it. We've, you know, tried to work out if we could just employ you half time, but then we'd have to get somebody else. And it just came down to there isn't anything we can do to change the situation. So I was like, well, okay, let's leave on good terms. It was just like a bit of a breakup, really. But the other thing that kind of got me to sort of pull the plug, because it isn't easy to kind of take away that security and go down the freelance route. I didn't know anything about freelancing at the time anyway. But I'd booked myself a trip on January 1st, like when was that, 2013, to go to Japan for 3 weeks. And that was my thing. I was like, well, I can't get all of that holiday from my work, so I'm just going to have to quit by March. and so I had to do something like that to make it, to get it in the diary. But really, I didn't really think too much. I think I'd just reached the end of my tether enough times. Yeah, so it was kind of an ultimatum there.
So what about for those people who aren't as lucky and privileged as us? Because I did a similar thing in that I'd never felt comfortable in an office, and I worked in offices from uni up until, yeah, for a long time actually, from almost 10 years before I went freelance. And the way I did it was that I was going traveling, so I just quit my job. It wasn't so much I'm setting up on my own. But we have both of us, I mean, I don't want to presume your privilege, but both of us have a heap of privilege in the respect that we were able to do that. What about for the many, many people who are...
Can't just...
Do it, but also have been going through life constantly thinking there's something wrong with them because they have never been satisfied in an office job.
Well, that's a good point. And it's really hard because every situation is so different. Mm. And, you know, I always wonder, okay, well, you know, first things first, what exactly don't you like about your situation? And is there anything that is in your control to change it? For example, one of the things that I did when I was in the job was change how I was commuting to work, because that was another like added stress. Like obviously when you're being a sardine on a tube, you could probably make that life a bit easier for yourself, even if it's getting up even earlier and getting a bus to work. Mm-hmm. Personally, that really worked out for me, even though it took me so long to get to work. I didn't care because I got a seat on a bus.
Yes.
So little things like that just helped my day. And then it's, you know, have you spoken to your boss about this? And I think even Susan Cain does talk a bit about this in her book. Like, and obviously it's easier said than done, but I think there are other little things like, could I work in a quiet part of the office? Could I work from home? Which I do think is increasing a lot more. That is becoming a lot more common that people are okay with people working from home, maybe one day a week. And but then it's also just to acknowledge that fact that actually it is really common. And weirdly, when I had sort of gone public, when I'd started talking as the creative introvert, a lot of people from that agency and people I knew were like, oh yeah, that's just like me. Like, that's exactly how I feel. And, you know, I'm not probably going to change my situation, but thanks for making me aware that there are other people who feel this way. And it's not even that they don't like the work or don't like the people. It's just the environment itself.
I think that, yeah, I really, really, really relate to that, because there are some parts of my previous life in retail that I really sometimes miss. But the overall environment of it was coming into work, commuting into central London, sitting in an office with people talking at me, open plan offices, squished in with desks next to each other, no privacy, having to, it's kind of making me shudder.
Right. And I think when people get clear about those little things, because I think if you were just in generally in a malaise about the whole thing and, oh, I know I hate work, but I'm actually not really sure why, that first step of clarity will probably help your situation, either in talking to other people about it or in looking for something that is more suited to what you want. Because just hopping from another workplace, which is like the same but different, isn't going to be helpful. But if you know exactly what it is, then at least you'll know what you want.
Yeah, totally. That's a really good practical tip, because, and also I think we both recognize that, yeah, it's not necessarily going to be easy or achievable for everybody to ask their boss for flexible working or whatever. Although that is your right to do so. It's everybody's right to do so. But I do understand that that won't necessarily happen. Also, if your job is to work in a front-facing retail job, then there's no chance that you can work from home. However, if you can, identify the root cause of why you feel icky and rubbish about your work life, and then also look at what you can do to control it. I really liked the tip about commuting.
Because that
is a big chunk of your day as well, isn't it? If you can change little things like that or carve out time for yourself at home, at the weekends.
It all helps.
Every little helps.
So there was this this research that was done after there was a big tube strike in London. And loads of people obviously had to take a different route to work. But out of those people who, you know, took a different route, whether it was the bus or walking, I think about like 30% of people didn't go back to their original mode of transport. And I think that's just really interesting in that these people wouldn't have otherwise taken that route and they found a better route. And you can apply that to like so much of what we do in life. We have our routines and we don't think to change them. But when we do, you know, we find something that works better for us. So I'm all about that. And it's something that I kind of rant about a lot. It's, you know, finding what works for you.
Yeah, I completely agree.
If you've ever listened to the podcast before, you'll have heard me mention the Blogger course, and for good reason too. Monica Stock created the Travel Hack back in 2009. And since then, she's become one of the most respected travel bloggers in the UK, if not the world. She's worked with a gazillion brands and she even has her own suitcase, which is amazing, by the way. Over a series of weeks, Monica shares tips on creating video content, branding, writing, and the dreaded niche. In fact, this was such a game changer of a chapter for me that I went from thinking I was just a travel blogger to knowing that I am something completely different and that I have a super tight niche. It really, really changed my blogging life. The course isn't the only thing that you'll get, as all chapters are available for audio download. And when you join, you become a member of the Private Blogger Course Facebook group, where members share tips, tricks, and opportunities too. Monica also gave members of the course the chance to join her on a press trip this year. In fact, I think they've been on two Blogger Course weekenders with Wow Trip, and there's more to come. So That's a pretty cool opportunity, and it's not one that I've seen with any other course. If you want to sign up, head to thebloggercourse.com today and get 20% off with the code WHATSHESAID. That's 20% off with the code WHATSHESAID.
Going from working in an agency to creating what is basically a community of creative introverts, how did you cope with networking and getting yourself out there?
Yes. I did.
My kind of girl.
I worked out fairly quickly that whenever I did, because the kind of networking I was doing in the early days was kind of accidental networking. I just went to a particular meetup group that was for illustrators. And that was me thinking, I need advice. Like, I was going there to ask questions about the industry because I didn't know much about it. Didn't know much about freelancing. And from there, I started to realize this is what people mean by, oh, you have to meet people face to face. It's not what you know, it's who you know, and all of those other annoying things that especially introverts don't want to hear. At the same time, I was fully aware that networking, the formal networking events that I then tried for like proper business people, just drained me. I would go there and want to leave almost instantly. If I did anything, I'd probably try to get a bit too drunk and then realize that I'd have to leave anyway if I wasn't going to make a fool of myself. And, you know, best case scenario, I was just talking to one person and certainly not about work. So it really wasn't very effective for me. And then, like, just over the years, I basically stopped doing it and purely relied on online marketing and meeting people through Facebook groups and having chats on Twitter. But even then, I guess that can only go so far. The thing that I kind of rested on was going back to the original thing, which I did enjoy, which was going to meetups with like-minded people. Because if I'm honest, like, I've never directly found were like clients or customers from the traditional kind of networking events. And that's partly probably because of my industry, but even in web design, they've always been like really strange. Like, the clients always come out of left field, and I'm sure a lot of people listening can relate to that phenomenon, especially for an introvert who isn't particularly good at networking. So I kind of just have started to go easy on myself, and rather than going to the formal networking events, going to meetups and workshops, seminars, talks, like places with other people, and using those as kind of practice, one, for being able to speak to real people and not just talk to people on Skype or on Facebook, but also to form those connections and to think, okay, even if that's not going to be the person who hires me, they might know somebody, and that's how it works. And honestly, you can do that anyway. You don't have to go to a BNI or any other kind of networking event.
Where do you find them though?
Well, meetup.com is
Yes, I forgot about meetup.com.
And there again, they are very like casual in the sense that most of them really are for people to make friends. One other thing that I did is obviously I started my own. That's what I did when I came to Brighton and had like literally no friends, no contacts, no all of my London contracts, they all wanted me in house. And I was like, no, not doing the commute. No, thank you. Which was like kind of, you know, shooting myself in the foot. But it did force me outside of that comfort zone. And so I started my own meetup group because I knew I could control the variables that made it introvert friendly. And I was really very aware of that. And now I'm still kind of like trying to fly that flag. And I'm really interested in cultivating small groups of people, usually introverts, because I still think we need a dose of that.
I agree.
And then making sure that they are like really relaxed, chilled environments, and that things don't go on for too long. Like, my current meetup group is about an hour and a half. People can stay for longer if they want, but there's like none of that pressure to be like, oh god, I have to make it to the end, or I have to make an awkward exit. And no one likes to do that. So just lots of little things. And I'm really like, I guess, passionate about how can you make something that is social, that still like kind of appeals to our social needs, because that's the other thing about introverts. It's not like all introverts need zero people and that is the most energizing thing. It's we need a certain amount. And even within the introvert spectrum, we all need different amounts of that. So yeah, it's trying to cultivate that and look for it in other places. Like, I love yoga classes for that reason. You certainly don't have to talk in a yoga class, probably shouldn't. But you still have the option at the end or at the beginning to have a little bit of chat and build friendships over time. So yeah, for me, it's been just finding out, and I'll admit they're few and far between, but finding out the other kind of events I can go to that are more introvert friendly.
But it sounds like that's all come from really getting to know yourself and not necessarily just labeling yourself as, oh, hey, I'm introverted. That's that. I fit into that box. It's more, I'm an introvert, but I am comfortable with this and I'm not comfortable with that. So I'm going to, which I think is a really good message.
Yeah, that whole thing. I mean, self-knowledge in the sense of everything from like what time I like to get up, how late I want to stay out, for me not very late, and just all of these different intricacies. I just think that most people, we aren't taught. It's almost like, sounds a bit, I guess in a way, selfish, like, oh, you're like really investigating yourself, good for you. But actually it's a really like selfless thing, because the more you know yourself, the better you can show up for other people.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I think people listening to the podcast will really relate to it. If you're a mother, if you have a partner, if you have a business that, you know, you're in charge of, any of these things, or just anything, you can't serve anybody else until you look after yourself. And the idea that self-care is a selfish thing is something that I think has been proliferated, really. It's quite patriarchal, that women shouldn't look after themselves, because I even really think the term self-care and the wellness industry really profits from insecurities that we all feel. I don't know.
Right.
That might be.
No, that is really interesting. And I feel like with men as well, it's kind of like sacrifice. You're meant to sacrifice in order to, you know, be respected.
Yes.
And that, again, it comes down to, we're not looking after ourselves, basically.
Yeah, totally. And what are the kind of best bits of advice that you would have for fellow introverts on getting to know yourself, getting to understand if you're an introvert to start off with? I know you've got a lot of resources on your website. And also what type of introvert you are, if indeed you are one.
Yeah, definitely lots of different tests you can take, the Myers-Briggs being one of the most popular. And if you were to search for 16 personalities, that's a fun one, because it's just a really well-designed free quiz that will quickly tell you your, kind of tell you your Myers-Briggs type, which is four letters. The first one is whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, and the others tell you other little characteristics. And it's got like a fun little cartoon at the end. So that, I like that one.
What are you?
I'm an INTJ.
Me too.
Oh, are you?
It's really rare.
It is rare, especially in females. So yeah, it's really fun to kind of share that with people. That's great if you are at a networking event. But there are others as well. Like, I really love Gretchen Rubin's The Four Tendencies.
Yeah.
Again, because this is just, so it's all about how you get motivated, really, and whether it comes from within or from without, and just little things like that. So I've kind of got a resource somewhere on my site. I'll try and find a link for you, but just lots of different tests that you can take, and they're all going to tell you something else about yourself. So searching for those tests, and then it's like, for me, it's how am I like living my life. And for example, the what time is best for me to wake up was a big one. And say, even if you have like a 9-to-5 job and you do want to like cultivate a creative hobby on the side, you know, the classic thing is, well, just do it when you get home from work. For me, that was never going to be an option. Whereas in the morning, I found it much easier to set my alarm half an hour early to do a bit of blogging, because I think I was blogging before I quit my job. Totally different blog. It was about health and fitness. but basically, for me, it was definitely a before work thing. Might not be for everyone. Something else that I do a lot of is journaling. And that is just a way for me to kind of clarify my thoughts. And I think that's particularly good for introverts, because speaking my thoughts to other people is much more difficult than just writing, especially if it's just for myself, no one else has to see my journal, and I can just kind of clarify what I'm thinking. And that has really helped me get to know myself way more.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think journaling comes up quite a lot in our sort of circles as something that can be a really powerful tool. For some reason, I don't find it to be amazing for me. But then again, that's just for self kind of discovery, isn't it? That I know that I process things by talking about them.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm a real talker. So sometimes I find that I'm processing things by either WhatsApp voice noting my friends or on Instagram stories, which is kind of mad. Yeah. But I do journal a little bit as well. And I know stacks of people, heaps of people find it to be quite amazing.
Yeah, I've also got people who it's less tangible for them, so they prefer to make art, and just through that has helped them kind of express themselves. And I think that's a big part of it as well. You don't have to be super clear. You can work in like symbols and stuff like that and go down like some real like depth psychology route, but that's the other thing. It's kind of tricky with the self-knowledge, because again, different things are going to work for different people. Mm-hmm. On this discovery. But yeah, that's interesting about you kind of working things through more like from other people. But that is also really helpful. Like, there are certain people I can go to coffee with and I'll come back and be like, oh, this thing is solved, it's like free therapy, it's amazing.
Yes. But this is why I kind of always, it's something that I've really battled with, is having a coach and really leaning in to get support. Leaning in, I shouldn't use that term because I hate it, but leaning on other people for support. You know, it's, I know it probably feels very much like a phenomena of the 21st century, but women are increasingly turning to coaches and mentors to support them, especially in their freelance businesses. And when you're self-employed and there's just you and you've got no colleagues, no HR department, nobody to touch base with, it can be incredibly lonely, even for an introvert who loves, I absolutely love working by myself all day. It's my favorite thing in the world. I love it. I get the most done. I'm the most productive. I'm the most happy, but I need support.
Yeah. No, I, there are a couple of things. Like, I like this idea of visual coaching. I was really skeptical about that for the longest time until I kind of accidentally got one. And then started to work out. It was so powerful for that kind of, you know, part of it was needing to feel a bit seen, honestly. Yeah. And that sounds like, oh, I use my coach as a crutch, but it's really nice for somebody to be like, okay, I acknowledge that, that you've done this work, and, you know, take a step back and just see what you've done. You actually sometimes need somebody else to be that mirror in a way. And then after a certain amount of time, it's almost like I could take the stabilizer wheels off and do it myself. So I think that's something really good about a coach, that you don't have to have them forever, but for kind of getting you to notice these things in yourself, and that you do have the answers in yourself. Because trust me, like, a coach does not give you the answers. Mm. It helps you find them. Mm. Or at least I think a good coach does that. And then this other idea of having a mastermind. So, like, you know, a handful of other people who don't even have to be doing anything like what you're doing, but they might. Maybe the thing that you all have in common is that you have online businesses or handmade businesses, or you all want to write a book. And that's when you can have that kind of support group. And again, keeping it small, I think that is a really helpful thing that I've had from time to time as well.
Yeah, I see. I'm in a group coaching. I guess it is. Yeah. Mastermind, at the moment, and we're all meeting up in person next week, I think. And I think there's something quite magical about six or so, a small group of women meeting up and just talking, which sounds so woo and sounds really fluffy and all of those things that we just never want to associate with ourselves, even though they're perfectly fine. But yeah, there's something really great that, I think we just can't underestimate, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like exponential. It's not just like one person, it's something amazing happens. And you don't, honestly, like, you don't even have to be mates with those people.
No,
it's just this thing of like being able to have that, oh yeah, I agree, I've had that problem too, have you looked at it from this point of view? Or just like it's not even just about having a moan, because I don't think that is helpful, but being able to see little things in yourself, that's like having multiple mirrors, right? Yeah.
And I think also, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be about hiring an expensive coach or doing an expensive group coaching program or anything like that. I think exactly what you were saying in terms of just seeking out those opportunities like a yoga class or like being in a coffee shop that's a co-working space. In Brighton, we have Small Batch, which is an independent coffee shop, and it's a really great place to co-work. And the one near me has like that used to be the roastery, has that co-working section. Mm. Places like that are pretty good if you're so inclined. That would be my nightmare, but you know, these are all ways that you can do it, or using meetup.com, or just forming a circle of your kind of friends that you meet online and either meeting up in person or just bashing out ideas over Skype. There are a lot of opportunities, so I don't want to say that everybody has to pay for an expensive coach.
Yeah,
but if you can, if your means allow, then I would definitely encourage it.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what I would say.
Yeah. No.
So that feels like a good spot to end it on. Let us know where everybody can find you online, and also all the different resources that you offer for creative introverts.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. So best place to find me online is thecreativeintrovert.com. And so the best thing that I think I'm offering, at least for free, is my podcast. So I put out a weekly podcast like yourself, and there are lots of resources that you'll find there. Then I've got the League of Creative Introverts. So that opens a couple of times a year, but you can sign up to the wait list and find out more about that. But yeah, other than that, I'm on all the social medias at Creative Intro. And yeah, I'd love to hear from you. If anyone wants to send me an email or just say hello on any of those links, go ahead.
Thank you so, so much for being a part of the podcast.
No, thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Thanks for listening. You can find me at Lucy Lucroft everywhere. You can find old episodes of What She Said over at lucylucroft.com, where you'll also find me chatting about all things blogging, travel, vegan life, and zero waste living too. Lastly, I know everybody asks this and it's a total pain in the ass, but please think about leaving the show a rating and review. It makes a huge difference to getting the show out to new listeners. And for every review you leave, I'll donate £2 to charity.
The process of leaving a review can be a little bit painful on Apple Podcasts, I know from experience, but there's a tutorial if you go to my Instagram feed. It's in the highlights entitled Podcast. I've left a little video tutorial of how you do it. And just remember that every review that you leave, I give £2 to charity. The charity this month is Endometriosis UK.